Good morning again. This morning we'll be looking at the book of Nehemiah chapter 3. And our topic today is builders of gates and walls. Builders of gates and walls. Last year we looked at the book of Ezra and we examined the building of the temple foundation and the building of the temple and its dedication. 4 weeks ago, we started this series in the book of Nehemiah, and we looked at the budding on the heart of Nehemiah for God's people. Clive kindly told us that the distance between Susa and Jerusalem was about 1,000 miles, so it was very far apart. And then in chapter 2, we saw that Nehemiah, even from chapter 1, he continued to acknowledge that God was behind all of his moves. And there is this phrase that continually occurs in this book, "For the good hand of the Lord was upon me." So Nehemiah has this understanding that God is behind his thinking and God is ordering his steps. For you to understand Nehemiah chapter 3, it is good to go back to Nehemiah chapter 2. And last week, Mike took us through this passage. And in verse 18, this is what the officials said. And they said, "Let us rise up and build." So they strengthened their hands for the good work. So there was a desire to build. And today we are going to look at the builders of gates and walls. We are going to consider these under three themes: the builders, their contribution, and today's builders. I don't know if we have the map of the wall or the sketch of the wall. I know there are many engineers in church this morning. Oh, that's good. So this is what the wall of Jerusalem looked like. These are two different people who tried to have a go at what they think the walls of Jerusalem looked like in the days of Nehemiah. Today there is a wall around the old city of Jerusalem. That wall was commissioned for building by an Ottoman Sultan, the Magnificent, and the current wall took 4 years to complete. They started in 1537 and they completed it in 1541. The current wall is about 2.5 miles long, it's about 39 feet tall. It has 7 main gates and 2 minor gates, and the thickness of the current wall in Jerusalem is 8 feet. So in the days of Nehemiah, this is what the wall looks like. And the current wall took 4 years to build. Can you guess how long it took these builders to complete this wall? The one in the days of Nehemiah, 52 days. 52 days they completed the wall. The current one took 4 years. Just think about the technology in 1537 to some technology in some years BC. It took them 52 days to complete this wall we are reading about in the book of Nehemiah chapter 3. And because it took them 52 days, which is significantly less than what happened many thousands of years later, you might be forgiven to think that these people had some degrees in structural engineering or in civil engineering or quantity survey or building engineering, or they are experts at scaffolding and the rest of them. But this morning, I would like us to focus on 11 kinds of profession we can find in Nehemiah chapter 3 under the builders. Who were these builders? In verse 1 of Nehemiah 3, the first person that was mentioned was the high priest, Eliashib the high priest. For those who might not know, the high priest has a special job. He's not a builder. His job is to present the sins of the whole of the nation to God. And he does that once a year. He goes into a place, a section of the temple called the Holies of Holies. If the high priest himself was unclean, immediately he enters the Holies of Holies, he dies. So we've read in history that when the high priest is going into the Holies of Holies, they will put a chain around his legs just in case he doesn't come out. They have to drag him out. His job was not mixing sands and cements or carrying bricks and water. But the high priest was one of the experts that completed that wall in 52 days. If you look at verse 1 again, it mentions priests. And if you turn your Bibles to verse 22, it also mentions priests. And the horse gate in verse 28, above the horse gate, the priests repaired, each one opposite his own house. The priests are not structural engineers. They are not experts at making scaffolds. But these are the second group of builders who completed this wall in 52 days. The priest would normally serve in the temple. They will be the ones praying for the people, going about spiritual activities. But the Bible mentions them as one of the groups of builders in Nehemiah chapter 3. And next, we found the Levites. In Israel, there are 12 tribes. One of those tribes is the tribe of Levi. And one thing that is unique about them is God had chosen this tribe exclusively to do his work. It's from the tribe of Levi, you have priests and you have high priests in the Old Testament. Of course, we know that Jesus is not from the tribe of Levi, but he became our high priest. He's from the tribe of Judah. But these Levites that we read about in verse 17 of Nehemiah chapter 3, they were one of the builders, one of the group of builders who built this wall in 52 days. And the next set of people mentioned here were the goldsmiths. These are not bricklayers, they are goldsmiths. In verse 8 and in verse 31, these are the other sets of people who built this wall. And in verse 8, and I'll read that. Next to them, Uziel, the son of Harajah, goldsmiths repaired. Next to him, Ananiah, one of the perfumers, repaired. And they restored Jerusalem as far as the broad wall. Those who mix spices. I'm not talking about the big brands we have today when we talk about deodorants or perfumes, but these are ordinary people who will mix spices together. They did not choose any profession in carrying bricks or measuring heights or building walls, but these are the list of people who built this wall. And in several of the verses, in verse 9, 12, 14, 15, and 16, there were mention of rulers. For example, let us read verse 9. Next to them, Raphael the son of Or, ruler of half the district of Jerusalem, repaired. These are people who are put in very high place in society. People probably worship them. People honor these guys. But several of the rulers came out to build this wall. So when you are thinking about the walls of Jerusalem was rebuilt by Nehemiah, it doesn't look like there are many building professionals who were involved in this place. And then in verse 12, next to him, Shalom, the son of Haloesh, ruler of the half the district of Jerusalem, repaired. He and his daughters. Women were involved in building this wall, which finished in 52 days. The current wall finished after 4 years with all the technology. Women were involved in building this. And it's not just women. Of course, if you look at verse 2, it talks about the men of Jericho. They came out to build. Verse 13 talks about all communities, the inhabitants of Zanoa. And in other passages of the Bible of this particular chapter, you see some communities coming together to build this wall. Verse 26 talks about temple servants. And verse 32 talks about merchants. These are the group of people or builders that completed this wall within what we believe to be 52 days. I don't know what is going through your mind just thinking about the people that God has decided to use. Remember what Nehemiah would often say, for the good hand of the Lord was upon me. God has chosen high priests, temple servants, women, men, rulers, perfumers, goldsmiths, merchants, people we would not often think about when we are thinking about people are building anything. These are the people that God used to complete the building or the repair of this wall in a record time of 52 days. Just want you to have that understanding of when we are talking about builders of gates and walls, they are ordinary people, just ordinary people. What was their contribution? Well, the contribution they provided to this varied. I'll read verse 1 and 3 again. Then Eliashib the high priest rose up with his brothers, the priests, and they built the sheep gate. They consecrated it and set up its doors. They consecrated it as far as the tower of the 100, as far as the tower of Ananel. And verse 3, the sons of Ashina built the fish gate. They laid its beams and set up its doors, its bolts, and its bars. Some of these people built the gates. They literally built it from scratch. Some of them just repaired, and there are varying levels of repair. Some repair was almost like rebuilding the whole thing. Most of the verses talks about repairs when you read this passage again, and I would encourage you to read it. In verse 13, it says, Anon and the inhabitants of Zenoa repaired the valley gate. They rebuilt it and set its door, its bolts, and its bars, and repaired 1,000 cubits of the wall as far as the dung gate. Some built, some repaired, in some cases, long sections of the wall, as we read in verse 13, in verse 15, and also in verse 24 and 25. But then there were those who just repaired opposite their own homes. In verse 10, the Bible says, Jediah, the son of Arumath, repaired opposite his house. And in verse 23, Benjamin and Ashob repaired opposite their house. In verse 23, the Bible says, Azariah, the son of Maaseiah, son of Ananiah, repaired beside his own house. For some people, they were able to repair long sections of the wall. For other people, they were able to repair just very close to their own house. And there are many parts of this passage in chapter 3 that says others just repaired. We don't probably know the extent of what they did, but it just says they repaired. But whatever it is, there is a record of the people that built this wall. Whether they built 1,000 cubits, or they built a small section, or they were actually setting up the gates, we know the kind of background or the profession from which they come from. And we have an idea of some of the things that he did. Then if you turn again to verse 5 of Nehemiah chapter 3, the Bible says, and next to them, the Tekoites repaired, but their nobles would not stoop to serve their Lord. There were those who would not join in building the temple, in building the walls and the gates. Why? Perhaps it's their position, they are nobles. But then there are many rulers who joined in building. But these particular people who were rulers of the Tekoites, and of course there's another place in this passage where the Tekoites themselves built, but their rulers decided it's not for them. You might think it's just about building walls, but see the way verse 5 says it, they will not stoop to serve their Lord. As far as God is seeing this, it is a service unto him. It is not just putting bricks and water together. It is a service to the Lord. And of course, there were those who would not join. Their contribution to the whole thing is not to join. Maybe they would rather serve God in other ways. They probably have their own great idea of how to serve God. Maybe they have other methods that probably is better than the one that God has chosen. Or perhaps they are thinking that they should employ professional builders. But one thing we know is they will not get their hands dirty. When it comes to rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem, the nobles of the Tekoites would not join. And sadly, there are others who were trying to destroy what was being built. Last week we read in chapter 2, there were some names that came out, and I think Mike said we are going to hear more about them. People like Sambalat and Tobias. There were some people whose whole goal and purpose is to tear the whole thing down. One thing we can see in this passage is God chose ordinary people to build these walls. And they had different responsibilities. Some could build 1,000 cubits, some could just build by their house, but there was record of everyone who participated building the wall. So what does this mean? This brings us to the third theme, today's builders. I already said there is a wall around the city of Jerusalem. For those of you that like to see the nation of Israel, you can go there and see the wall around the old city. That wall was built by the Ottoman Empire. But what we know from scriptures is Jesus is building his church today. And I will say the walls around the church of Jesus Christ is not currently better than what the walls were like in the days of Nehemiah. It looks to be broken down. It is increasingly difficult to know the difference between a Christian and a non-Christian, apart from the fact that one says, I am a Christian, and the one says, I am not. The lifestyle is the same. The beliefs are the same. They do exactly the same thing. The difference, I am a Christian, The other one says, I am not. In fact, some church gatherings are not different from any social gathering. You can replace, you can interchange names, and it will fit perfectly. And I don't know what that does to you when you hear reports, maybe not in Grace Church, maybe in churches around, maybe in churches overseas, what the Church of Jesus Christ looks like. Do you have a similar burden like Nehemiah? Although he was in Susa, he was probably comfortable. He's eating from the king's plate. But he was concerned. Yes, the temple was built, but the walls are broken down. So it doesn't matter. Anybody can. What's the purpose of the temple when there are no, when there is no protection around it? There was a prophecy by someone I believe to be a British man, William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army. And this is what he said. By the way, he died in 1912. The chief danger that confronts the coming century will be religion without the Holy Ghost, Christianity without Christ, forgiveness without repentance, salvation without regeneration, politics without God, heaven without hell. How true is this today? Maybe 100% true. It's exactly what is happening. He says the next century, so if he died in 1912, exactly we're in that century. And that is where, that is the state of the church today. What does that do to you when you hear about these reports? People committing crimes in the name of Jesus. People leading other people astray in the name of Christ. This is similar to the sort of thing that Nehemiah had about his people. And for 4 months, he was praying and fasting. After 4 months, he heard about it. Even the king, who is not a believer, could see that something was wrong with him. And it's not sickness, that is the sorrow of the heart. How do you respond to the state of the church today? And when I say church, I mean the universal church of Jesus Christ. This idea that it is only heaven and not hell. This idea that you can ask for forgiveness, you don't need to repent. This idea that you can be promised salvation, but there's no regeneration, just continue living your life. Today's builders are the saints, those who genuinely know their God and have been called by God, those for whom Christianity is with Christ, whose forgiveness comes with repentance. We are today's builders, and we must build the church of God. We must serve God by building with him. I know you may say, but God is going to build his church, of course. God is going to build his church. That's why Nehemiah said, the good hands of the Lord was upon me. But throughout history, God has always partnered with his people to get his work done. And that's the biggest privilege we have as Christians. We are the builders, and I will read Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 to 37, just to see what Jesus says about this. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 to 37. And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few." You can replace that word laborers with "the builders are few." You must know this, that the builders are few. In the days of Nehemiah, the builders were few. They completed the wall in 52 days. The last wall that was built, the builders were many. They did it in 4 years. The builders are few, but the work can be done. And we are the builders. The question is, are you idle or are you working? And how can we join Christ in building up his church? I'll give you 3 points. One, preaching the good news. Mark 16:15. This is what Jesus says: "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation." In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 13, another way is making disciples. We can make disciples. When people come to church, they need to grow. And that is the whole act of making disciples. And of course, all of us, we are called to build one another up in Christ. These are the ways we can help to build the wall. There is a lot of things you hear about the church, the Christian church today. It is sad. So sad that there is even no agreement whether Jesus rose from the dead. It's so terrible. There are ministers who don't believe that Jesus is going to return. And they speak to thousands of people. Some of them are on television and they say things. The laborers are few. The builders were few. And we, Christians, are today's builders. It does not matter whether you are a man or a woman, whether you are a theologian or a simple Bible believer, whether you are a noble or a servant, God is counting on you, like in the days of Nehemiah, to build up his church. And what we need to do is to make our own contribution. Some of them built just next to their house. Some built long stretches of the wall. What we cannot be doing is just to be idle. Remember, we are not many. I know there is a way statistics of Christians are taken, and those statistics is anybody who claims to be a Christian. But those who genuinely know their God, Jesus says they are few, and it remains true today. Do not be like the nobles of the Tekoites in verse 5 of today's passage, who would not stoop to serve the Lord. You can give many reasons not to preach the good news, not to make disciples, and not to build others up in the church. If you so want to make excuses, you can. But please do not be like the nobles of the Tekoites. And more importantly, do not join those who are tearing apart the church of Jesus Christ. There are records of people in the Bible who are there to tear the church down. In fact, Paul warned us in the last days, some will creep into the church with the sole purpose of destroying the church of Jesus Christ. And let us remember that we are in this world for a time. Nobody is going to be in this world forever. So the time we have to build up the walls around the church is very limited. Let us walk while it's day, because the night will come when even if you want to walk, you will not be able to walk. And I pray the Lord will bless his word in our hearts in Jesus' name.